Inside the Cross Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeff Shannon with Inside the Cross here with this week's Isle Preps Podcast. A truncated podcast this week. I'm riding solo, but we're going to get to an interesting interview in a few minutes talking with St. Paul's, Maryland head coach Rick Brocato. Rick is a 16-year veteran of the MIAA, and he is retiring at the end of this season. He'll be playing his last regular season game this coming Tuesday against Boys Latin, St. Paul's longtime rival. In fact, this is the 100th meeting between the two programs, so sort of a fitting way for Rick to end his career, at least home. There's still the playoffs to go in the MIAA. But anyways, we're going to get to that interview in a couple minutes. Just a quick look at the Under Armour Inside Lacrosse Top 25 Power Rankings this week. Darien once again holds on to his top spot, has a 13-0 record, making its way through Connecticut, playing some big games. Landon in the number two spot with a 20-0 record. Landon will face our number 17 Bullis, Maryland, who's at 18-2 in this year's IAC Championship. That game will be played this coming Friday evening. Landon looking to solidify its base. Bullis, too, really. An upset in that win could really throw the top 25 rankings into a kind of a cluster. Hill Academy, Culver Academy, IMG National have all finished their seasons. New York, Cold Spring Harbor gets going. They're still at 12-0. Some more big games we'll get into a little bit next week once we start seeing some of the championships in this region either start aligning themselves up or getting together. Not much change in the UAIL Experts polls, the top 10 regional polls. One big game to note coming up, though, Dallas Episcopal will be playing the Woodlands. This is a battle of two undefeated teams. Woodlands, I believe, is 23-0 at this point. Episcopal Dallas is 17-0. Monster matchup in Texas. I'm looking forward to kind of following the results and seeing how that comes through. Anyway, as I mentioned, we're going to get to our interview with Coach Brocato. Playing Calvert Hall this weekend. That's a big matchup for seeding purposes for the MIAA. And then, again, they'll be playing against Boys Latin at St. Paul's in the 100th anniversary game. Love talking with Coach Brocato. He's been a favorite of mine since I've started covering this sport. He kind of came in right when I came in and with the return debut at St. Paul's in 2006. So, Rick, how's this season gone for you guys so far? Pretty competitive, 14-3, some nice out-of-conference wins, some good league wins. How's this year been?
You know, it's been a fun year, starting it off with our trip out to La Jolla. Couldn't get much better than that, you know, being able to practice and play every day and enjoy the scenery and the weather out in SoCal was pretty special. Plus, it kind of brought us together early in the season, which I think was terrific. The kids were great, and we played some great competition out there and had some success against some good California teams. So that kind of kicked it off very well. And then coming back kind of built on that with a nice win against Haverford, at home. That was special for us in terms of, you know, we came back, we were down by three goals and came back to win it in overtime. So that was phenomenal. You know, then we played a buzzsaw in Culver Academy, Jeff, and I tell you, if there's a better team out there, I'd like to see them. Those guys were tremendous, and they, you know, exploited. It was the first time I really felt like, you know, they exploited some of what we thought were our weaknesses or what we didn't know were our weaknesses. So, you know, that was valuable learning experience for us. We decided not to lament the loss, but learn from it, and I think that was huge for us moving forward. And then we had a real nice run of some wins, capped by a nice game against Bronxville and the One Love Spring Fest, which was exciting, playing a good program like that who seems to be on the rise and doing very, very well this year up in New York. And then we hit league play and really hit the ground running with, at one point, what I thought was our most complete game of the year against Loyola, winning 9-4 at home. And really had a great game from our defense and our goalie. Alex Schweitzer that I thought was really, really special. Alex Rode that I thought was really, really special. So, that was a great one. And then we got down to St. Mary's, tough place to play on a night game. And I don't think we ever got off the bus in the first half and wound up losing 10-9 in overtime. We fought like crazy to come back and tied it up in the last second and then lost in overtime after we had after we hit a pipe in overtime. So we certainly had our chances there. But a much improved St. Mary's team. So, we've had some nice wins since then. It's St. Joe, a very good, who I think Severn team is a lot better than their record indicates. Went over to McDonough, who is just a powerhouse, and had trouble picking up ground balls. And after the first quarter, we really kind of fell behind against them and lost that one. But we rebounded with two nice wins since that. So, I think. This group of kids, I tell them all the time, I really love coaching them. They get along so well with each other. We're not always pretty and we're not always smart, but we'll fight you to the end. And I think that's kind of something that we've been hanging our hat on and something that I really respect in this group of kids. It's an honor to coach them because they do fight, claw, scratch, punch, whatever they need to do for everything that they get. And we work really hard for those wins that we get. So, really proud to coach this group of kids and pleased with where we are right now. We have two, really tough games to end the season with tomorrow night at Calvert Hall on their senior night. And then, finish it up, of course, with the 100th St. Paul's Boys Latin game next Tuesday.
Rick, who are some of the kids, you mentioned you really like coaching these guys, who are some of the kids that fans of MIA or high school lacrosse in general should keep their eye on?
Well, Brendan, it really starts for us right up the middle, Jeff. If we're going to have success, we need to be strong up the middle, and we thought we were going to be strong going into the season up there. And that starts at, with Alex Rode in the goal. Widely considered the best goalie in the nation in high school lacrosse. And then Brendan Schoen, who is one of the top kids in our league and facing off, who's going to the Air Force Academy. And, both of those guys have really delivered this year. I think Alex is over 60% save percentages. That's coming off, a season where he set our single season saves record. And that's saying something to a school like St. Paul's, who's been playing for as long as we have and has put out some goalies that we have, from, Les Matthews to Scott Bacigalupo, Bob Clements to Gunnar Walt, A.J. Barreto. Alex has really stepped in there and filled those shoes and done a great job there. And Schoen has won, Brendan has won 73% of his faceoffs in 10 games, in 16 over the course of our season, 16 games, 17 games now. But in 10 of those 17, he's been over 80%. And that's staggering. I don't think in my career at St. Paul's we've had a faceoff kid be so effective, and put up those kinds of numbers. So, that's where it kind of starts for us with those two guys. I think a big surprise and a really pleasant surprise for us has been Jackson Woodward, one of our long stick middies who's going to Salisbury next year. He's really stepped up his game and not only is an offensive threat in transition, but he's done a terrific job as an on-ball defender and off-ball defender. And off the ground, he's been very, very good, too, in gobbling up ground balls. So he's been a kid that I think people need to watch out for. Our first midfield, I call him our Tiger midfield. They're all going to Towson University. The Gager boys, Carson and Riley and Logan Zimnock, who's a junior in that group, have really been doing yeoman's work at the midfield. So we're really pleased with them. And then we feel like we have two very good short stick defensive middies. I think they're two of the best in the league at Bobby Barrel and Jennings Schweitzer, who have really stepped up. On attack, I think goes without saying that Logan Posner has been lighting things up. 55 goals to start, so far this season. And, you know, he's a guy who played some midfield for us last year and really stepped up in MIAA play back to his normal position at attack this year. And he's been finishing like crazy this year. I think he's 55 goals on 87 shots. So that's a pretty darn good shot percentage, goal percentage. And then Keegan Pearl is kind of our quarterback there. Keegan has 50 assists going into these last two regular season games. You know, so those kids have really shown that they have what it takes to be successful in the schedule that we play.
Rick, before this season, you announced that you'll be stepping down at the end of the 2017 season. How have you approached this season? Has it been any different than in the past? And just looking back, what are, you know, one or two of your favorite memories coaching at St. Paul's?
You know, so I've really tried, Jeff, to approach the season like I always do. Try to coach my teams the same way, prepare the same way. That's been, you know, effective for all these years. So, you know, I don't want to vary from that formula. I didn't want to stray from that formula. So, you know, I've kind of put some of that other stuff out of my mind and just really focused on the kids, because I feel like if I don't do that, that's doing a great group of kids a disservice. So, you know, I've really tried to approach it like I always have. Granted, maybe I'm staying out on the field a little longer. Maybe I'm soaking up the surroundings a little more and smiling a little more. You know, just trying to soak up as much of the great stuff as I can that comes with being a teacher and a coach. And, you know, that's time out on the field with the boys and my assistant coaches. And that's that, you know, I'm uber competitive, as my family would definitely tell you. So, you know, that Tuesday and Friday action in the league is really kind of gets my blood flowing. And I love that part of it. So, you know, those things, I'm really trying to soak up as much as I can in that respect, which maybe is a little more than normal. But other than that, I'm just kind of going out, doing it the way I've always done it, and you know, staying up late. I call myself the vampire at this time of the season, because I do all the scouting for our team and everything, and writing up the scouting reports and watching the video, the film, and everything. So, you know, doing a lot of that, and I do love doing that. I think over the years, Jeff, you know, there have been a lot of great, great memories from day one. You know, I kind of point to our 96 team being a really special group of kids. And I really feel like that's where I started to kind of come into my own as a coach. It was early in my career, but that was a special group of kids that lost in the championship to a very talented, undefeated St. Mary's team. But, you know, we happened to beat the best team in Baltimore that year, Boys Latin, in the semifinals at Hopkins, which people considered an upset at the time. So that was a great accomplishment. That team was special because we had so many injuries that year. Out of our, I think, 20 games, we had 14 different lineups because of injuries that year, guys coming in and out, and we still managed to, you know, fight our way into the championship game and losing a tough one against St. Mary's, who was undefeated that year. The 98 team certainly is something that I'll remember for the rest of my life, and kind of shaped who I am as a person and a coach, I think, since it. And you know, that was a tragic year, and I hope no coach and team ever has to go through that, where we lost one of our best players and really one of the most special kids I've ever coached, in Alex Schweitzer, in the middle of our season. And, you know, I had to kind of figure out how to lead 35 boys and coaches through that tragedy and continue to play lacrosse. And, you know, being on the field proved to be kind of our refuge and a place where we came together and just could have fun again. That team was very, very special. And, you know, in a season that could have derailed us, those kids decided that they were going to rally around each other. We all rallied around each other. And upset McDonough, who had won 19 straight games. We upset them in the semifinals at Hopkins, 13-12 in overtime, and then lost to a very good Gilman team in the championship. But that group really was a championship caliber character team, those guys. And we're still very, very close today, all those guys. Matter of fact, I'm having dinner with a bunch of them tonight. So that's a group that I'll remember. And, of course, the 2010 team that just was so dominant, and such a hard-working group of guys and fun-loving group of kids, and you know, winning the championship in 2010 the way we did with a you know, resounding win was really, really special too. You know, and I tell you, I put this team with those in terms of teams that I've really enjoyed coaching, just because of how they treat each other, how they approach the game, and how they fight. You know, it's a special group of kids, and I'm glad I'm going out with this group of kids this year.
And it's got to be a little kismet that your last regular season MIA game will be at home versus Boys Latin in the 100th meeting of the two programs. It's got a nice fortuitous situation there.
Yeah, you know, it kind of all felt right, you know, for me in terms of making the announcement, for a lot of reasons that was in it. You know, of course, the part of it, I felt like, how do you top that kind of stuff, you know? So I've had a wonderful career coaching at a great school with a lot of really wonderful kids that I've been able to coach with, and men that I've been able to coach with that have been my assistants. You know, being able to coach my son these last 2 years has been, for me, beyond special. I don't know about him at times. I know he feels it. But, you know, and then having that game, the 100th game, you know, and such a storied rivalry, which I think is a really healthy rivalry, you know, just a, if you ask me, it just kind of comes all together in full circle, and it's a great time. Yeah.
Well, Rick, looking forward to that game next Tuesday, and definitely congratulations on the career, and looking forward to your future endeavors, whatever that may be. I'm sure you got lacrosse in your plans in some form or another moving forward.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see. There's a lot I'd like to do out there. I don't know how much you'll be, you know, how much of an opportunity I'll have lacrosse-wise, but there are definitely things I'd like to do beyond and outside of the lacrosse world. You know, Jeff, I always tell the kids, don't let the game define who you are. How you play the game defines who you are as a person, you know, and but it's not your total identity. I've never kind of thought lacrosse was my complete identity or the definition of who I am as a human, so human being. So, yeah, there's some other things I want to do and look into and enjoy the roses, and I'll be a huge fan of St. Paul's and the MIAA for years to come, no doubt about it.
Great advice. Rick, thank you very much. Looking forward to that game on Tuesday and to the MIAA playoffs. Always a great time.
Thanks, Jeff.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, your source for the sport.